Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Gang, forgive me for the way I'm dressed. I know we're recording this. Zach, you look spiffy. Joelle, you look wonderful. Oh. Daniel, you are a lifesaver. And you look great. You look healthy. You look like you're having a lot of fun in New York with your blurred background.
We're doing okay.
I have been in my animation studio for 3 days. Oh. The wife has not seen me. Oh. I haven't showered really. I had my buddy, elder son, he's worked at many studios before, and he's come to the crib and he's officially hung lights for me. My animation, ooh, we were supposed to record at 1:30. We finished at 1:29. Wow. And I gathered everything and ran up in this motherfucker. Wow. And I was late, but hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't never going to see. Like, look, I've learned so much in the past 3 days about lighting, which is something, Zach, I know you know a little bit about. I don't know if you know anything about it, Dano. I don't know if you know anything about it, Joelle. But
a little bit.
It means so much to, you know, creating something or it just looks flat and depth of field and all of that stuff. All of these things fall into play. Mm-hmm. And it's been an awesome experience. And thank you for letting me share that.
I can see how excited you are.
We're glad that
my wife
happy.
Said that shit too. She was like, I can see how excited you are. I walked by and you sounded like a little fucking geek.
Well, not everyone has a passion that they love as much as you love stop motion animation. So I think we're all very happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Even if it makes you 15 minutes late with no idea how to set up your microphone.
Hey, it's coming. I deserve it.
The audience is lucky that we're not going to give them the full Sarah Chalk experience. We're going to cut out the 15 minutes you just needed to help set up the microphone.
You guys stopped recording. Thank you. Tell me about it. What have you been doing?
I've been directing the TV show Shrinking.
Yeah.
And it's really fun and great. Yeah. I really loved it. The episodes are so... I directed episodes 3 and 4 this year, and I'm done. I'm going to start editing next week, and I had so much fun.
You want to tell me Harrison Ford anecdotes or anything?
I'll tell you a story you'll laugh at that I... He really likes me, and he's very nice to me, and we get along. This time, I bonded with him more, and I still get giddy when he says my name, which is just funny because...
What's he called?
Just Zach. But when he like calls across the set and he has a question, he's like, Zach? And I'm like, oh my God, he says my name. Amazing. But I'll tell you a funny story. I was wearing these really loud Gucci shoes, sneakers that I had bought in Vegas after I lost in blackjack. I was with Bill and I got crushed in blackjack and I was like feeling like such a loser. I was like, I'm going to go buy stupid expensive sneakers. And I went and bought these very loud Gucci sneakers because I don't dress flashy at all. I wear just pretty much the same three things every day, but I do like loud fucking weird sneakers. Anyway, so I'm wearing these on set and Harrison goes, what's the story with these sneakers? And I go, I was actually in Vegas with Bill and he won like all this money in blackjack and I got crushed and I was like bummed out. So I went and bought these at the Gucci store and he goes, and those cheered you up.
Hell yeah.
He's real, Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harrison didn't understand my retail. Understands retail therapy. He just didn't understand why those particularly loud Gucci sneakers were retail therapy.
Yeah, but you're getting to know the real Harrison Ford. Everybody knows, everybody else who doesn't have the privilege of getting to hang out with him frequently knows the freaking persona. You know what I mean? You're seeing vulnerability and all of that stuff. I envy that because you got that with Morgan. You got that with Harrison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Fucking, the list.
Alan Arkin. Yeah.
I've gotten
to work with some legends. I got to say, Harrison's just so cool. And he's so good on the show. The scripts are so good this year. And he's just incredible. And what's cool about an actor like that is, you know, first time through, they're basically like, where do you want me to stand, pretty much. This time it was more like, felt way more collaborative. Like, what do you think? Should it be more this or this? And that's when it gets really cool.
I love it, man. That's so cool, bro.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool. I mean, we can't talk about some of the stories that you told me off camera. I mean, but just some of the things you said, just, you know, I've already gone to friends and been like, and then Zach said he said this. And fucking when Zach told me that, oh my God. My heart melted. Like, just it's just so fucking awesome, and I'm really happy for you, but also,
thanks,
fuck your sound machine, Zach.
I wanted you to come visit, but that just never seemed to work out.
No, I don't think I could handle myself.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd behave either. The other thing is, I want to just say to the audience, I have a movie coming out. I think when this airs, it'll be out. It's a movie. It's going to be. I think it's in like 50 theaters in the US, but in a lot more in Canada. It's a movie I made with Vanessa Hudgens called French Girl. And, but anyway, you most likely will be able to get it on demand wherever you buy or rent movies like iTunes or Amazon or wherever. And it's really cute. It's like a meet the parents kind of romantic comedy where I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. I'm absolutely in love with her. And she's French Canadian and she gets a job offer in her home city of Quebec City. And I think, oh, that's where I'll propose in front of her whole family. And I'll make it so dramatic and romantic. And we go up there. And while I'm up there meeting her French, beautiful French family that live on a farm and they're lovely people, I'm a little bit of a fish out of water. I don't speak any French. And while I'm there, I learn that the woman who's offering her this chef position, played by Vanessa Hudgens, used to be her lover. And she wants to get my girlfriend back. And so it becomes like Vanessa and I competing over this amazing, beautiful French woman.
Why y'all gotta compete?
Hilarity ensues.
Why y'all gotta compete?
Well, I don't think either one of us wants to share the amazing woman.
I'm not a sharer either. I'm not going to lie.
Anyway, it's really cute. It's really funny. It's kind of a meet the parents tone because everything I try and do goes wrong. And I think you'll like it.
The trailer's adorable.
The trailer's really cute, very fun.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
I get to do a lot of physical comedy, which I haven't done since Scrubs. And that's fun. So
now, you shot this a while ago too, right?
Yes. Shot it a while ago. Yes. But it's finally coming out.
I love it. And it's good.
Vanessa's really hot and funny in it.
As always. She's great in that tick, tick, boom.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, what did you think? Speaking of Vanessa, and I only because she was hosting the red carpet, the Oscars were really great this year, weren't they?
They were great.
Oscars were fun.
Well, I'm going to say something really quick.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
This sounds controversial.
It's not controversial.
Okay.
Two lights out moments in the Oscars.
Go ahead. I think there were
lights out. Cena coming out with the freaking thing, lights out, hilarious.
Hilarious.
You can't sit here and tell me you didn't laugh.
That was funny. That was very funny. Very funny.
And then Gosling coming out there and doing Ken. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Lights out, both of them.
Knocked that out.
It's hilarious.
He crushed that.
But also, there were other moments. Billie Eilish's performance, I thought was incredible.
Just going to say.
But I wasn't laughing. Like, I was laughing watching those two things.
Well, you're saying specifically.
I watched the Oscars and I expect to see great dramatic and heartfelt performances like the there was a standing ovation for the memoriam. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I expect to see grand, dramatic. It's the Oscars. It's rare that you laugh your ass off like that.
Yeah.
Where you giggling so hard at what's going on.
I'm just telling you, a goosebumpy moment for me. I agree. Those were hilarious moments. But when Billy and Phineas were singing and it was just very simple, right? And then they had yet to reveal that there was an orchestra back there. And then so they were spinning on this little simple turntable. And then the stage opened up to reveal Ricky Minor and the orchestra. And I got goosebumps all over my whole body. It was so good.
First of all, shout out Ricky Minor.
Yeah.
Shout out Ricky Minor.
Ricky Minor's got a monopoly on those award shows.
I love him.
Yeah, he's a good
guy. Explain who Ricky Minor is for people not.
Oh, he's a famous conductor and producer, but he seems to always have whenever there's a big award show and a big ass orchestra, he's usually the one conducting the orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, he's just an incredible person. When he sees me, he is always so nice and loving. Mm-hmm. And I really shout out Ricky Minor, yo.
I don't know if Ricky Minor listens to the podcast, but maybe now someone will
tell
him.
He's a fan. I know it. He's his favorite podcast. He told me it was.
There were a lot of good ones. I love the sort of style of having the actors come out and say something nice about each of the nominees. That was so elegant.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So lovely.
And moving.
Super moving. And also just like a great opportunity for every nominee to be honored by another person who's received an award, but also for the winner to then be congratulated and kind of like welcomed into that club, just being like, hey, congratulations. It was beautiful. I really loved
and
that.
And for
change.
The losers to wish that they were welcomed
into
that
I like
awesome
what Daniel,
club.
I like what Daniel said. You're still honored in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
When Divine Joy Randolph, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
When she started crying because what Lupita Nyong said, oh my gosh, that was one of the most moving moments of the night, I thought. When she was already crying.
Classmates at Yale. I think Divine's 1 year under Lupita. And so, when they were able to, especially when they were able to have these emotional ties and relationships to one another, like, Emma Stone, but in the way that they were able to give it to a friend, so a friend could give it to her, it just made everything much more emotional and sweet. It was lovely.
It was really nice.
Emma is the show.
Emma, I gotta say, Emma, if there's one person who deserves two Oscars already, it's Emma Stone. She is so fucking good.
She's really good.
Yeah. And Donald, I know you'll never see that movie, but you're missing one of the most amazing performances ever. I wish I could tell you there was lightsabers in it so you'd at least peek at it.
Is there music?
There's beautiful music.
Yes.
Strange, bizarre, awesome music and gorgeous set design.
Obi-Wan is in it for some reason.
Is it like Alice in Wonderland?
No, it's sort of a Frankenstein story. It's basically about how a guy, Willem Dafoe, creates a young woman. It's kind of like...
I now want to see this movie.
It's kind of like, what's the movie we always joke about?
Weird Science.
Where it's like a modern day Artful Weird Science.
Correct.
I am now interested. I would like to see this movie.
And it's on Hulu. You can watch it.
Yeah.
On.
It's so good.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. And just the design. I mean, it won all the design awards, as it should. The costumes, the makeup, the sets. You're going to think like, wow, is this all CGI? I can't believe someone would have built all of this. It's all built on stage in Hungary, I believe.
That's wild.
Yorgo Lanthimos is just, what a brain. What a
guy. Interesting.
I got so into it that I watched a behind the scenes, which I'm sure anyone listening can track down on YouTube. And it was just about how they built these sets, which were enormous. And like Emma Stone's interviewed and she says, you could get lost in these cities and they're all on stage, like enormous stages.
That rules.
Really cool.
That reminds me of how big Star Wars sets
Oh God.
Used to be before the CG and the volume and all of that stuff.
They built the whole city for Andor.
Yeah, but that's
like 7 miles long. It's huge.
That was an exception.
Yeah, so I was just saying they're bringing it back. It's coming back around.
Andor's coming back. Aren't you excited about that?
I am very excited. I like all of it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I still love it, even though it's on a television screen behind the actors. I still love it. It's still Star Wars to me.
Has anyone seen Dune 2?
Yes.
No, and I really want to see it, but I'm waiting for it to come up.
How have you not seen this yet, Donald?
What? Because I have a thing about going to theaters now, man. It just doesn't. I mean,
you got to see Dune 2 in a theater. I'm going to go see it in the theater.
You go rent out a theater, Donald. It's not that expensive.
What's your fear?
I've done it several times.
What's your fear?
My fear about movie theaters?
Yeah. Is it COVID?
It's not my fear. I don't have a fear about it. It's just COVID set off something completely different in me when it comes to that shit.
Mm-hmm. And I still mask at the movie theater.
I want to be comfortable too, though. Shit. You know
what I mean? Eat my popcorn.
I want to eat anyway, the stuff.
I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it at some giant IMAX theater screen. Oh,
you know what I mean? And I'm going to be honest with you. Back in the day, I would try and get seats that were separated from people anyway. And now you can't do that regardless. You know what I mean? Like, if I want to sit two rows over, I mean, a seat over, if there's three seats or four seats, and I want to sit in the middle of those four seats, I can't do that shit. And you used to be able to do stuff like that.
Well, you find if you go to a day screening, I think you're a weekday screening.
But Dune, this is going to be like one of the number one. It's got to be one of the number one movies.
No, but I'm sure if that's your biggest concern, I'm sure you could find a weekday early morning screening where you don't have to sit on top of people.
I'm animating, man. Didn't you hear how we started this shit? I just want to wait until it comes out and I can watch it on my big screen at home with the sound machine and then pop some popcorn and enjoy it that way. I mean, you see where I'm sitting.
Okay.
Go off.
I get
classic
it. Do your
black
thing.
Dad. Just wait till it comes. That's my dad says it every time. It sounded just like my dad. He's like, no, I'm going to wait till it comes. I got a big screen downstairs. I don't need the movie theater.
I don't need it anymore. I don't need it. There ain't no dates happening in this house.
What's sad though is like, I hear you and a lot of people listening agree with you. It's just so sad. Like we were all, everyone in the movie industry is like clutching on like, well, at least we have these big tent poles where people will still go to the theater. And now people are being like, nah, my TV's big enough. Fuck it. And we're watching the death of the movie theater in real time. It's a tough thing, but anyway, it is what it is. And at least there's lots of good entertainment, and it'll just shift to your home TV. Mm. And we'll always have the ballet.
We'll always have the ballet. Everything was beautiful at the ballet.
I want to play the audience a song that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
Oh,
I sent this to you guys in your DMs, and it's just.
Uh-oh. It's just become
a very important song to me in my life. And I wanted to share it with you guys. Okay. Hold on. I got to cue it up. Everyone, I want to give a shout out to the Instagram account there. I ruined it. Spelled T-H-E-R-E. I ruined it. Okay. This is Donald. This goes out to you.
I like big butts. I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. You pull up tough.
Hey.
Deep in the jeans she's wearing. What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside that trunk.
Hey, hey.
I'ma get you drunk.
Hey.
Get you love drunk off my heart.
There you go. It goes on and on. But that, I think that was an important thing for us all to hear.
I'm glad you played it. I feel culturally enriched.
Mm. Amen.
All right, let's get into season 9, Donald. Count us in.
I don't want to.
You gotta do it.
You gotta.
We gotta do it.
Here we go.
Do it. Do it.
You honor me.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories,
about a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
All right, welcome to season 9, everyone.
Oh my
I'm
goodness.
Sure everyone has a lot to say.
Please leave them in Joelle's inbox. She's been waiting.
Yeah.
ScrubsIHeart@gmail.com.
ScrubsIHeart@gmail.com.
My God.
We want to hear what you have to say about season 9. Go ahead, Donald.
I want to start with Daniel and Joelle first.
Okay.
And what they thought, because I feel like I don't want to start. I would rather.
I can start. I mean, but go ahead, Joelle. What do you have to say? What are your broad strokes, Joelle? You don't have to keep
it. Yes. I got broad strokes as well.
It's a long podcast. You don't have to keep it brief.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was so lovely to see Zach opening up. You're like, wow, this feels so familiar. How lovely. The eagle grand, the shouting from the hospital. So cool. And then as soon as they were like, it's a different hospital, I said, skirt, this is Scrubs. Where are we? What's happening? Yeah. I miss the dirty hospital, new and clean and so big and like lush and green. Like this, it doesn't feel right. And immediately I heard Bill in the back of my mind being like, it's a different show. Right. Think of it as a different show. And I said, okay, if I try to lean into that, I like the Lucy character. She's fun. I'll punch Cole in the face. I don't like him. He's a horrible person. I'm intrigued by Dee's relationship with the guy that Cox eventually calls his number one. Cox as a straight up teacher, fascinating. Mm-hmm. There was like a lot of, as I was watching, I was like, there's so much stuff that works. I just don't think it had found its footing in the pilot, which is very common for TV. So yeah. If I were watching this fresh, I would be like, I will watch another couple of episodes and see if they find their groove. I like what's being set up. It does not feel like Scrubs, even though it's nice to see Scrubs cast. Sarah putting her boobs on your head. I mean, I almost on the floor.
They're heavy. So I said they're heavy.
Such a weird moment.
Well, I'll jump in. I want to say something just to start off season 9. And I really did feel this when I watched it, to say when we diss season 9, we are never, ever meaning to diss any of these wonderful actors. Because I think I wanted to just start out by saying one of the things I got right off the bat was, gosh, these new kids, quote unquote, are so funny and so talented and so pretty. And they're all really, really talented people. It was a kind of Herculean task for them to try and step into the roles of a beloved ensemble that have been doing it for 8 years. And it's a big ask. But nonetheless, they were put in that position. I think Carrie Bechet is adorable and lovable and funny. But yeah, as a viewer, I'm watching it going, why is this so clean? And why, what is this environment? Like, it's funny. You know how that line from Madame Web was getting dragged so much they even mentioned it at the Oscars? What was that sentence? It was like, she was my mom when she was a doctor. Do you know that sentence?
In the Amazon rainforest. Oh gosh. I don't have the line memorized.
Daniel will find it. But it was like the reason they were making fun of it is because it was like so much exposition like condensed into one quick moment. And that's how I felt like the JD had one line that was like that. It was like explaining why we're in this weird environment and why I teach. Everyone now works at a school and they tore down the hospital and we all work in a school now. I don't know. It was just weird, right?
I have the line.
What's the line?
So it was a joke from John Mulaney. He said, without sound, we wouldn't have been able to hear such classic lines as, you're going to need a bigger boat, or I'll have what she's having. And he was in the Amazon with my mother when she was researching spiders just before she died.
Yeah. That's like making fun of them for like cramming all his exposition into one sentence. But anyway, that's my first impression is that, you know, Carrie Bechet and Franco and Eliza Coop and all this gang, they were really talented. Nikki Whelan, they're all really funny and talented. It was just a big ask of them. Donald, go ahead.
Daniel, do you want to go?
I'll very briefly echo some of the thoughts I'm hearing here. Like, I think the only thing I'll add is that seeing a lot of these actors when they're particularly young, seeing a very young Dave Franco, when we have seen him like grow up so much over the years in between this time, was definitely like, oh, look at that. And seeing you guys again in this kind of out of place, but still in place, it was almost like an uncanny valley where it's like, as Joelle said, it's like, it is Scrubs, but it's also kind of not. Like, it is you guys, and it's so many of the main players. It felt so familiar and yet so distant, which was, I think, you know, as Bill was saying, try and think of it as a spinoff, think of it as something new. But there was so much that was reminiscent about it that the strangeness made me feel even farther away from it than it did make it feel familiar.
Yeah.
And I think, like we said when we were talking about doing a spinoff, or like what the spinoff would be many episodes ago, it's like, it's a big ask to just all of a sudden introduce a bunch of new people and expect it to hit as hard as it did, even with so many of these familiar faces. And like you're saying, great actors. It was a big ask. It was a big ask of the audience. And yeah, I don't know if it landed properly.
All right. They did something that never works. All right. I echo everything you guys said. It was absolutely everybody on this bad boy is talented. Mm-hmm. Everyone is, you know what I mean? But they did something that never works, and every show on television does it when they're trying to survive. They try to fucking Sam that shit or Cousin Oliver that shit, and it never works. And that's what happened.
You need to explain that reference to young people that don't get a different Strokes reference.
So when shows get old and the kids get older and people and networks feel like the audience can't relate. The audience that we want to watch the show can't relate anymore. Writers are forced to create a new character to bring life to the show. And for some, it's Sam on Different Strokes. There was Arnold and Willis and Kimberly when they were kids. And that's what the show was about, them being kids. But when they got older, it was like, we can't write the same story. Like, Arnold can't get kidnapped anymore. He's 19 years old. You know what I mean?
They bring in a young, cute kid.
Mm-hmm. So they bring in a young, cute kid. And they let all of those stories happen to that kid. And that's what they tried to do with Scrubs. Mm-hmm. They felt like, for some reason, the audience can't relate to these guys going through these stories anymore. It was really about when they were, Scrubs was really new and fresh. When they were young and they were energetic and they didn't know all the answers. Let's recreate that again. Even better, let's throw them in a school and turn it into a classroom setting, head of the class, and we'll bring back all of our favorites to teach these kids.
Right.
That shit doesn't work.
Now, were you ever. And Johnny C the only regulars from the original cast, or was Sarah a regular? So I think Sarah and I
comes back and does like six episodes. You do six episodes.
I did six.
So when you leave, Sarah comes.
Oh,
so
I
there's,
see.
There's six episodes where it's you, and you're still narrating the show, trying to keep everybody there.
Right.
And then you leave, and it's all thrown on to Carrie Bichet. And, right. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's a big ask, and it's not the same show.
But she's very charming and adorable.
She crushes.
I
love her fucking jumping over the counter and doing that stuff. She's great in the fantasies.
I'd like to think I discovered Carrie Bichet, but Bill would probably fight me on that because I cast her in a pilot that my brother Adam wrote, and the pilot didn't get picked up, but we shot it and we cast her, and she was so good in it. And I feel like I must have mentioned her and showed Bill the pilot. He would probably have a different answer for that. But I think but anyway, I always thought she's so charming and interesting. You know, another thing that came to my mind is, do you remember in Groundhog Day when he naturally falls on the ground in a romantic way with, it's Annie McDowell, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
when his con is finally working, yes.
And then he tries to like recreate it and it's so cringe, it doesn't happen naturally. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
That's kind of how I felt watching this. I felt like we're trying to like cringily recreate like something that was working. So you and I doing an eagle, like, and saying eagle twice and screaming from across the parking lot, just like we did when you came back from your honeymoon. It just felt like we were doing that Groundhog Day of trying to like recreate something that had been magical.
All right, I'm going to say one last thing, and then you're going to be mad. You guys are going to be mad at me.
I'm not going to be mad. We want your honesty.
the show got better when it was just focused on us also. Like 100%, I didn't give two craps about the interns or anything. Yeah,
but
are
you
worried?
But you have to look at it from a non-biased point of view. Do you think you were just
if I was just coming into this show and I had never seen Scrubs before in my life,
right?
And this was the first introduction, I'd be like, oh wow, this is a really cool show. These guys are great. But after eight years, and then going into this, and then bringing back the same people, and then saying it's Scrubs with Bill's right, that was the mistake. They should have called that shit something else.
Yeah, med school. Just maybe like
we shouldn't have been. Maybe we shouldn't have been in it.
I was driving down Sunset Boulevard today, and there was like a billboard for the new Law and Order with Tony Goldwyn, and then there was a separate billboard for SVU, and then there was a separate billboard for another one.
Yeah,
and I was like, there's like so many Law and Orders, and like organized it could have crime. It would have been a better route to be like med school. Yeah. I think Bill has said he tried so hard for that, but they didn't want to do that because they were worried about the branding of it.
Oh, that would have been dope. Then you can compete against your own show and stuff like that. Scrubs Med School. Then you have the crossovers.
Yeah.
That shit would have been fire, man.
Well, it didn't work like that. Also, another variable that was, changing the environment so drastically, I think, in addition to it being, for those of you who listened, all 8 years of Scrubs were filmed at an actual abandoned hospital. This is the first season that was shot on sets. So when you see the outdoor area, that's actually the back lot of
a back lot. Those are office buildings on
Culver City Studios.
On the Culver City Studios.
I think it's now Amazon, right?
Yeah, that was the new buildings that they had built for the people that worked. And the other side where we filmed like the quad and all that stuff was where like Gone with the Wind and all of that shit was filmed. And that used to be the back, the offices. Mm-hmm.
I think pieces of Wizard of Oz maybe were shot there. Like it's an old lot. Mm-hmm. Along with next to it is Sony, which definitely had some Wizard of Oz. I'm not sure what falls where, but yeah, lots of old classic movies. And then it was called the Culver City lot. And now I think it's been bought by Amazon, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. It was Culver Studios when we were there.
Okay. And that's where Bill shot Cougar Town. And that's why it was moved there, so Bill could kind of run back and forth between.
He didn't run back and forth.
Well, I think he didn't do much running back and forth, but in theory,
he was over at Cougar Town like this.
He could oversee Cougar Town. But anyway, when you're seeing all those exterior shots, that's like, yeah, Donald's right. It's not even a back lot. It's just like that was just the outdoor area of this lot. And then all the interior stuff were sets on a stage. And also in addition to that, we had shot 8 years on 16 millimeter film. And I believe this was the first time the show moved to HD video.
Yeah.
So all of those factors make it have quite a different look,
The look was a bigger factor than I anticipated. It really makes a difference. It's a huge, huge difference.
Well, yeah.
My big laughs. Okay, stories that I'm interested in.
Wait, we're going to go through the whole show. Just do your highlights.
My bad. I thought we were, I mean.
I don't like the way I looked either.
You don't like the way you looked?
Yeah, I just.
Oh, I could tell you, talk to you about the way I looked. I had fake, all right, so my teeth are not real. They're not the teeth that I were born with. I've got veneers and but this was going through the process of it. So at this point I had fake, not even veneers. So it was like that
dentures?
Gel that they put, pretty much, but it's like the gel that they put in your mouth and then they shape your teeth to make it look like you have teeth and stuff like that. And so when I look at this, all I see is and you have to have this wash because this is back in the day because they've grinded down your teeth and your gums are like exposed and stuff like that. And so when I look at this, all I see is just the smell that I was going through at that time.
How long did you have to have smelly teeth?
It was for like a good 3 months and stuff like that. Oof. So while I was filming this, and then towards the end, I get my permanent jump offs in, I think.
Will you let us know when we're rewatching these, when you have your new
when it
teeth?
Skips over? Oh, you'll be able to tell because the smile gets so big.
That we'll never see.
Should we take a break, Dale?
Great idea, Zach.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how much Donald loves season 9.
What you trying to get into a day soon? What
season
you trying to do?
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Terms apply.
Well, there's not a lot of us in this episode. Let's talk about who is there. You got Dave Franco, you got Carrie Bechet, you've got Eliza Coop, you've got Nikki Whelan.
You got Michael Winslow.
Michael
Winslow. That's not his real name.
I was going to say, what?
No,
that's what
guy?
I called him. So I got a great story about that too. His name is Mike Mosley.
Yeah, but, Mike Mosley. He did a great job.
But I thought his last name was, for some reason I confused him with Michael Winslow. And so I started calling him Winslow on set. Yo, Michael Winslow.
Oh my
Winslow.
God, that's cringe.
Right? No doubt. So he throws a party and I'm old man at this time, but I don't give a fuck. I'm like 30 something. And he doesn't invite any of the older people. I don't get an invite. Zach doesn't. And I'm pissed off, but he invites all the young motherfuckers. But he doesn't invite the OG cast. And I'm like, this motherfucker, right? And I go to Eliza Coop, and I go, yo, hold on, Eliza. You got invited to Michael Winslow's party? Mm-hmm. And she was like, who? And I said, Michael Winslow. You know the dude that plays Drew? And she goes, you mean Michael Mosley? And I go, yeah, well, he didn't invite me to the party. He goes, maybe because you've been calling him Michael Winslow.
Oh, my God. Did you ever take ownership of that and apologize?
Yeah, I was like, motherfucker, why didn't you correct me and say my name is fucking Michael Mosley? He was like, I didn't realize that you were calling me Michael Winslow. Like, motherfucker, you're so full of shit. Winslow! This is like how motherfuckers call me Clueless. Clueless!
Yeah. In the spirit of us trying to recreate moments a la Groundhog Day, I thought when we hugged and I say you smell like you've been in prison.
That was not funny at all. Dude.
No,
it
and
was
also
funny,
it was not.
It wasn't.
And you know what? Like, our hug was like seasons 1 through 8, it used to be like, we did two guys who love each other. This was like, these two want to fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All it, dude, I knock over the stuntman to get to you.
It was too much.
The look of
the way
the
I'm
of,
smelling you is like
yeah,
too much.
Yeah. And then she comes by and she goes, are you guys, but I think that's the joke also, because she's like, you guys need a room? Or, But we skipped so much. See, this is what I'm talking about.
All right, come back.
Show gets funny to me right when my head is on the motherfucking is on the damn thing. I was like, all right, this is funny.
The white mannequin. It's funny when you give all your students an F because they're white.
That's when I started. I was like, all right, this is funny.
What did she say? Raise your hand if you're white.
Yeah.
That was funny. Too well, you like that.
Yeah.
All right, we have a little guy love reprise right after that.
Yeah.
Then we run each other. We said, "I smell like a prisoner." And then someone is like, "Well, how long has it been since you guys have seen each other?" We carpooled here this morning. Then we see the new title sequence, which is really weird. I don't think I've ever seen it.
That was my first time. I remember shooting it.
It's not Laszlo Bane. I remember shooting it too. I remember being like, "Why do I have to be in this? I'm not even going to be in the show anymore."
Six episodes.
But then it's Waz, and the artist named Waz. It's not Laszlo Bane. It's not Chad from Laszlo Bane singing his own song.
It's very melancholic all of a sudden. Like, they're trying to do... I don't know, man. Listen, I'm not hating on the show. I just feel like it was the wrong...
You're just being honest.
I think... And I'm not going to lie. I laughed a couple of times. It just didn't feel like... It's just branded wrong. I agree with that. The branding should have been...
Well, let me give you a little thing on the title sequence. It's a new version covered by singer-songwriter Waz, who was featured before on Scrubs in My Full Moon, and who was also responsible for the music in Bill Lawrence's other show, Cougar Town. The chest x-ray in the title sequence is no longer backwards. And also, Bill Lawrence managed to sneak in med school like he wanted in an attempt to position the new season as a spinoff.
That's what it should have been right then and there. It should have just said med school and not Scrubs. And I don't think we should have been in it. That's just me. From where we're at right now, I think we're so distracting to the audience. This is why. We're so distracting to the audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
The one person that could be there, you keep Eliza. And you can even bring in Kelso. But we're so distracting to the audience that it makes it so that it's like, wait, is this Scrubs or is this med school? Who am I supposed to follow? You doing the monologue and her doing the monologue? It's confused. It's, you know what I mean? Right. As a watcher, it's like,
The idea was to pass the torch and to warm up the audience to Carrie Bechet. And then little by little, JD fades out. That was the plan.
We're really heavily in the story in the beginning of it, though.
I laughed the janitor quits when he finds out that JD's not really coming back.
A lot of people know this, but he was contracted to do the middle.
Yeah, but I'm saying story-wise, it's funny when they do that. I laughed at that little flashback when you tell him that I'm never coming back. Is it you?
He just puts the mop. It doesn't track, but yeah.
He just hands off the mop and leaves. His whole reason for staying at the hospital was to torture JD.
You left in the last episode.
Right. No, there's a flashback. It's not saying recently. It's saying the day after I left.
It's a flashback, but it doesn't track. So you're saying the day you left, the day you were out, after all of that shit. Come on, man.
That's what happened. That's what's funny about it.
No, they could have just said they laid his ass off. They should have said something like that. That would have been. I think it's funny that he leaves. It doesn't track because.
What do you mean? His sole reason for being was to torture JD. When he doesn't have JD, he's like, "Fuck this, I retire."
He was there before JD. The whole
I know,
he
had but
the
he
whole
had
a, conversation he, about the episode about how he the groups always changed and everything like that.
I know, but like just like JD was Cox's favorite student. JD became the janitor's raison d'etre, his reason for existing. He committed his whole life to torturing JD. And when JD was gone, he was like, "I'm going to retire. Fuck this place. I'm going to go hang out with my squirrel army."
There's so many people. He sold the squirrel army.
Oh, you're going to hang out with Steven.
He doesn't own Steven anymore.
Who owns Steven? Do we ever find out what happened?
Steven. I get rowdy and you get Steven.
Oh, okay. So JD has Steven somewhere. Okay, so let's get into some more of this. Cox has numbers.
How for weird this. Was that seeing him in front of all of those people, man, doing the freaking monologue now?
That's good.
As he's in a, as if he's in a proscenium.
That was good. I thought that set, by the way, was good. Was if you're going to do a college classroom set, that was a really good looking set by Cabot McMullen. And I thought Johnny did a good job with that monologue, obviously.
I was pissed off after I saw his office. I mean, his classroom. And then I saw my classroom, which was the size of a shoebox.
Well, I think the idea was that.
And he gets the freaking hall.
Yeah, that was good, though. I mean, that was he did a really good job. And then we meet. Cox gives different numbers to the med students, and he gives Carrie Bichet 19, meaning her ranking is 19th from his favorite. And we meet the beautiful Australian actress, Nikki Whelan, who doesn't have much to do in this first episode, but
nobody can understand what she's saying.
That's kind of funny.
What is she saying?
He has no idea what she's saying. Drew and Eliza, we established they have, there's a lot of sex in this episode.
They established the relationships quite early.
I know. I think they really wanted to say in the pilot, like, guys, there's going to be lots of sex. Please stay tuned.
Sex with a lot of young people.
Hey guys, young people will be banging. Please stay tuned.
Tonight on a very special episode of Med School, there will be banging.
Tonight there'll be some jokes and banging on Scrubs.
Med School.
Med School. So you've got Carrie Bichet hooking up with Dave Franco. And how fucked up is it that Dave Franco takes a secret picture of her
bending over
and prints it?
And then just carries it around.
And carries it around?
Okay, it really, so I was confused. Is he carrying it around to show people?
We never know.
Or is he carrying it around because he never wants to forget the moment? I mean, is it a central, like, first of all, one. Two, his ass should be in jail for shit like that, right?
Of course.
Don't you go to jail for stuff like that?
Well,
you do. You can. Yes.
First of all, it's so fucked up. And then the only thing I hated more than that was the fact that when JD finally has a good teacher moment, he's very, you know, empathizes with Carrie Bichet, obviously, because he was in her spot. That's the whole point of handing off this journey to Carrie Bichet's character. And then he leads her off and then sneaks a look at the picture again, which was so like, it's I was like, no, that is not the way. First of all, how does he recognize her if it's a picture of her bent over?
Right. She says, this is a picture of me. And then I think JD responds to that.
Okay, but just for clarity's sake, I know it's a comedy and everything, but when we see Cole take the picture and she's bent over like she's putting her socks on or whatever, so it doesn't really make sense that she would be able to.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. It's collegey now. The way the show looks, it does feel very National Lampoon-ish, old school Lampoon-ish.
Oh. It does have Lampoon-ish vibes.
I see. Lampoon-ish vibes. Now, JD, I really didn't like JD as a teacher. I know that's supposed to be the joke, that he's like so performative and lights, camera, teach. It's like so much. And none of the students are into it, understandably. There was a cool fantasy when...
camera, teach. What?
I know.
What? Well,
it's funny because he's supposed to be like bad at it, which we're supposed to go, oh, I see JD's not good at this. But I was kind of cringing, like, oh, he's annoying. I don't want to be annoying.
Wait, hold on. Lights, camera, teach. He's not teaching for the students. He's teaching for him. He's freaking, I'm fucking on stage. He's on stage at this moment.
Yeah. You don't think in JD's imagination there isn't a full camera crew? Yeah, like, recording?
Yeah, absolutely. Lights,
he's living
camera,
his musical theater.
He's living.
He has to come up with a sign for when to take them, notes.
And
he comes up with jazz hands. Yeah, he's living his dream as a performer in front of that giant classroom.
Oh my God.
Now, I did like the fantasy of, I thought it was shot well when Carrie leaps over
that counter.
Yeah, and Johnny C, who would totally be cast as a sheriff on a manhunt.
Totally.
Yeah.
A southern sheriff on a manhunt with dogs. Johnny C would get that part. I thought that looked
cool. Say less. Johnny C would be like, you want what? a state trooper on a manhunt with a dog.
Yeah, I'm there.
Say less.
Can my biceps be out? I'm there. Can the shirt around my biceps be very fitted? Okay, I'll get the next flight out.
I'm in.
I am on my way. Where are we filming? New Mexico? On my way.
I've worked there. I'm on my way.
Where are we staying? The Andaluz? I'll be there.
So, what's it called? Not the Andaluz.
Andaluz. Yes,
is that
it
what
is.
It's called?
The Andaluz.
There's like two hotels in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, where actors always stay. Is that what the one that you're talking about?
The Andaluz.
I think that may have been what I stayed in too.
That's the one everybody says, with the courtyard downstairs with the little booths all around. And
I think so.
You've
stayed in another one.
No, that's the one.
I stayed in one that was kind of nice.
This was nice. It's nice. Right. Or it was when I was there.
All right.
The 4-star hotel.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Okay, so Lucy sleeps with Cole. We got the picture. Oh, I laughed at that when I said to Cox, stay open for business in here, in your heart cage.
I like that JD's wearing the jacket from Dangerous Minds.
Yeah, so how did JD get the jacket from Dangerous Minds? We never learned that backstory.
He probably won it at an auction. Michelle Pfeiffer probably had an auction.
But he...
She was auctioning off
and he
charity.
Puts on, but he adds the professorial... Why do professors always have those? Can someone tell me about why that is a trope? Why do professors always have...
Because it gets hot.
No, but what is the reason?
Oh, the elbow
patches? What is the reason?
They're on their table. They're on the desk talking to the kids.
Daniel, look that up, please.
With their grading, with their heads down.
I just want to know why we associate elbow patches with professors.
It has to be because the elbows are on the desks all the time.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
So based on a little cursory web search, it looks like the stereotype started because tweed was a relatively cheap but warm material, and professors were a relatively poorly paid class of professionals, so they kept wearing them until the elbows wore out, and then they patched them.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. But now it's become just a thing. If you're going to play a professor, you better have some elbow patches on. So, but JD, when he bought Michelle Pfeiffer's Dangerous Minds coat, it didn't have elbow patches, so he added them.
Yeah, his leather, it's a leather jacket, right?
No, the leather patches, probably suede, probably.
I'm talking about the jacket.
No, it's not.
Did she wear a leather jacket in that? I'm confusing it with freaking La La Land. She wears the leather jacket, the red leather jacket for the audition.
Why are you confused? Oh, for the audition.
That's Dangerous Minds meets.
Oh, when she does the Dangerous Minds audition. Yeah, that shit's so funny. What does she say about, you be chilling?
No, you be bugging.
No, you be tripping.
No, you be tripping.
Yeah.
Why you be tripping? Lady, why you be tripping? No, such. You be tripping.
And I love that the casting director is like,
it's an actual casting director that's reading with her.
Yeah. Hey, lady, you be tripping. Yeah. No, Jamal. No, you be tripping.
Lady, why you be tripping? That's
and then I think the character's name is Jamal, right?
She's like, yeah, no Jamal. But lady, why you be tripping? That's right. Yeah, and isn't it Deborah Aquila that's doing it?
It might be Deborah Aquila. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you look that up, guys? Does Deborah Aquila play casting director in
La La Land? But lady, anyway, why you be tripping? That's just hilarious. No, I want to say it's like No Raheem, but it's probably No Jamal.
It's something like, I think it's Jamal. No Jamal. You be tripping.
You be tripping.
It is Jamal. That shit's hilarious. And anyone who's an actor who's been out here in this town, that the reason that it's so funny is because A, some casting directors will read like that to you. And you're like, you have to act off of it. And two, the idea of like, you know, just doing it, of her auditioning for a Dangerous Minds like role was just so funny. Oh, damn. I don't know if I'm going to open TikTok.
Oh, it goes to the website.
They're about to ban this fucking app anyway.
That shit's gone, dude.
Wait.
TikTok about to be gone. Daniel,
can you play it? Play it in the.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. Hold on.
Daniel's going to play it for us.
This is my classroom. You don't like it? The door's to my left. Lady, why you be tripping like that? No, Jamal. You be tripping.
But you know what's so good about Emma Stone? She sold the shit out of it. Like you were like, yeah. I cast her. She's got the part.
This is where I get pissed off. In the beginning of the movie, that first audition she goes to where she's studying it in the... We're doing La La Land all of a sudden. I digress. But anyway, in the beginning of the movie...
This is now
where she
a
goes
La La Land
first,
rewatch podcast.
Yeah, it's a rewatch podcast of La La Land. When she goes to the freaking audition and she's freaking standing there and she's talking to like her lover on the phone and she's like, yo, so you're gonna, when are you going to tell her? You're going to tell your wife in such and such that we're together? Or when you... And he has a change of heart. And she has to play it off like she's happy, but she's crying and she's crushed. Right. And the casting director's not paying attention. She's killing it in that scene.
Right.
She's destroying it. And the casting director doesn't see it. That shit is so frustrating.
But I didn't know, like, during that movie, if you're supposed to think that she's a great actress early on or not. Because
I think you're supposed
when
to
you
think
see her one-woman show, it didn't look that great, right?
No, I think the thing is, that's the whole thing. There are so many great actors out there. And until you get your break, until somebody's willing to take a chance on you, you're not going to get that work, right?
Right.
And so here she is killing all of this shit. She's in there fucking crushing it. And all of these other people suck. And she's fucking nailing it. And the casting director's got fucking Joe Blow on their mind and is not thinking of them.
Right.
And same thing with, and you know what I mean? Same thing with the director. The director's like, yeah, she's different. She's not the one, you know, I'm really into this girl. I'm not into this girl. Fuck this. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like
And then to your point, when she has that audition where she sings that audition song, she's so dropped into what they were looking for that someone then takes a chance on her and her career takes off.
And it takes off. And it's like, finally, I see you. And then everybody sees her.
Now, do you need to go into your loud monologue about how there's plenty of jazz clubs in Paris and Ryan Gosling could have gone there?
No, no, no. Because Ryan's just Ken now. It's all good. I'm all right.
I really miss the era of you drunk tweeting about La La Land while you were on airplanes. That was a phase.
I watched that movie. Because I, listen, man, that movie. Oof.
I would love, but back when I was on Twitter, I would see like,
this the I'd be like, Hollywood. Uh-oh.
It's Donald's on, Donald's story, drunk on an airplane man. Again because he's fucking, he's writing tweets like, there are plenty of jazz clubs in Paris. I don't know why he didn't follow her.
No, because he didn't need to. I don't, look, now I look at it and I'm like, look, in my eyes, this story is, it's the journey, right? Everybody has a different journey and these two connected at one point.
Yeah.
But I did want them to be together in the
Me
end.
Me too. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful
But
movie.
He's so happy at the end of the movie also, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know that he's happy at the end of the movie.
He had exactly what he wanted. You know what I mean?
No, he didn't have her.
But he didn't want her back then either.
Yes, he did. You don't think his heart was broken when she walks out of the club?
No, he would have made it to the show. He would have made it to the show if he wanted her.
No, when she walks out of the club after
he would have made it to the show. He would have told John Legend to kiss my fucking ass.
No, but
I gotta go see my girl.
That's the decision he made.
This is way more important.
That's the decision he made then. But years later, when she comes with her husband to the jazz show and Lee is about to leave and at the door has that fantasy and they make eye contact. I think he realizes that she's the one that got away and he's so sad that she's walking out
I
that
think
door.
They both realize what life could have been for them if they would have stayed together and how happy they could have been. But I think when they look at each other, they're both in a really good space.
I disagree.
I think
you guys have that interpretation of it?
I like that it's kind of ambiguous. I've had this fight
a lot
with my
It's supposed to
friends.
Be. My yeah. father, yeah. rest in peace, used to love a good end of La La Land debate. But sorry, Joelle, what's your interpretation? My interpretation was always that they're both melancholic.
Okay, my interpretation used to be your interpretation. It did. But I've watched it a few times since. You know what I mean?
He's really cracking the code.
Joelle, what do you
think? I've watched it a few times since.
My thought initially was that he was sad but happy for her. And she was like, wow, that would have been interesting if I stayed with him. But life turned out pretty sweet for me.
Yeah.
She was good. Like, she seems like in such a great place at the end. And
I think Chazelle went out of his way to make that husband not exciting and not as sexy and not as interesting as Ryan's character was.
Yes, but is it?
We don't know anything about him.
Here's a secret reveal. Joelle reads a ton of romance. And I really feel like there's a lot of romances end with, okay, I could have been with this exciting person, but they wouldn't have been the healthy person for me. So mm-hmm. I went with this person who's more subdued, but who gets me and is very supportive and has made my life better. You know, and that's kind of the vibe I got with him. Like, no, he's not as like hot and exciting and like fun as she had with Ryan, but he's stable and she was able
with
to
Sebastian,
have the career she
wanted
to.
Please call him by his character's name. It is Sebastian.
I'm so sorry. Sebastian has really been there for her. He really loves her. And because of that, she was able to have the career that she wanted.
Mm. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I'm tempted to agree. I mean, you know, It's the sexy thing to want her to be with Ryan Gosling. It's the sexy thing to have that fiery... Sorry, Sebastian, pardon me. To be with Sebastian. It's the dangerous thing, but that's not life sometimes. That's not life.
Now, they would have fought. That would have been the worst thing ever if she was with him, if you really think about it. As self-centered as he was as well. You know what I mean? Like, she would have... She needed somebody who's not going to be...
Doesn't her heart break the way they look at each other at the end?
Oh, so much. So much what might have been between the two of them.
I think that makes a better movie. It's too
but
nice
it's the
to
same,
be
look,
together.
Right,
no,
I don't want the ending
to be any different. I love the ending. I think it's brilliant in that it gives the audience this discussion and they can have this discussion this many years later. My personal interpretation is that there was a longing for what could have been.
This All right, look, why, we could do the How about this? Good. How about this? Mm. Let's do the Notebook. At the end
I
of the
movie. I
don't
know the Notebook as well as I know La La Land.
Oh, you just do it like this. At the end of the movie, The Notebook, she's with the dude that she, you know, fell in love with on the lake. Mm. That, you know what I mean? Instead of the other guy, mm-hmm. right? The one that was the good guy, right? At the end. It's not like her life would have been that much different. I think she would have still now going back to. She would have had a great life with him, in The Notebook, she would have had a great life with that guy. She would have had a great life with the Ryan Gosling character. In this one, in La La Land, I feel like it's the same thing. She would have had a great life with this dude, and she would have had a great life. She's having a great life with the guy. There is no wrong answer at the end for her. For him, it's a fucking huge difference, bro. And that's why you're saying, I don't know if he's happy or not. The difference at the end is, in his mind, holy shit, we would have been, I would have been Jay-Z. I would have, you know, to her Beyonce. Instead, I'm fucking underground backpack rapper and who's still in the club, but no, I'm fucking killing it.
He has his own
club.
He has his own jazz club. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but he don't got his own label. You know what I'm saying?
That's not my interpretation at all. I'm sorry, audience. We'll stop
talking
about
La La Land. The temptation. Listen, my point
they
is.
They love when you talk about La La Land.
Oh, really?
No, pause.
This podcast. What if this podcast just became 100% each week we talk about La La Land?
Listen, I'm here for it.
No, I just want to say, I disagree with you on that. He's got his own jazz club. He's happy. I'm sure he's like hooking up with lots of women.
You said he wasn't happy.
I'm saying he's content with his career. His dream has come true. He owns the jazz club, but then the love of his life walks back in with her husband. And I always felt that he was crushed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that he dropped the ball by not going to Paris and by not going to her one woman show.
He wasn't invited.
Well, he fucked up by not going to the one woman show for sure.
That's where he fucked up.
But to be fair, I'm glad I didn't have to sit through that one woman show. It didn't look that great.
Okay.
She became a movie star because of it, dude.
Right, but that doesn't mean a genius, talented actress necessarily writes the best one-woman show that you have to sit through for 2 hours and be like, "It looks like you're having so much fun up there."
Was it say goodbye to
Pasadena or something?
Yeah, some shit like that.
I don't know. All right, back to, we'll take a break and then we're going to finish our summary. We'll be right back after this.
What you trying to get into a day soon? What you trying to do?
The advertisements. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
And we're back.
We're back. All right, everybody likes a little ass play. Don't even act like you don't.
Okay, calm down.
I think there was a lot of ass play in this episode.
How do you know there's ass play?
I'm just guessing.
Okay.
I'm assuming. I'm assuming making an ass out of you and me.
Okay.
You know, I'm just guessing.
Okay, so Drew Cox says he's going to take a... Oh, by the way, Beardfase still works at this hospital. I saw
him. I was about to say, some of these people in the background are playing interns, and they were interns when we were interns. So there's something wrong.
Well, Beardfase is definitely a doctor. He's not an intern, and he's still
there. Well, Sean is an intern, and he's... And then what the fuck is Reggie in the purple scrubs doing in the rounds? In med school.
Maybe he decided to become a med student.
But why does he still got the purple on?
I don't know. It was probably like them not knowing the rules of the different scrubs colors, episode one or something. I don't know.
Oh boy, they're already crossing the line.
Cox takes an interest in Drew, and
but let's say why he takes an interest in Drew. Cox likes to pick on the weaker ones. The weaker insecure interns Cox has always enjoyed picking on, and he's doing it to Lucy, Carrie Bichet's character, and Drew sees it and decides to jump in the way and be a shield for Lucy and be like a big brother to stop Cox's rage on her and turn the attention elsewhere. Because he's been in jail, and he's you know, we learned that his backstory is that he dropped out or flamed out,
meaning just emotionally couldn't handle it. Because there's a lot of references to how hard it is to be a med student, and there's a couple of references to like, you guys aren't going to last, and so he flamed out, and then for some reason he was in jail.
Yeah. And, for something that he did.
I don't know if we ever learned that in these 12 episodes. We'll find out.
Maybe. We'll see. But Joe seems to get a kick out of him.
And then JD, as we said earlier, finally talks to Lucy. And that's kind of nice because he feels like he's a really bad teacher. He doesn't get invited out to party with them. They don't come to his beer party in the classroom. Only Turk shows up, and JD has these glow stick necklaces to wear. And Turk won't even wear the glow stick necklaces. And then they go on a walk, so, and they see all...
What? That's kind of off-brand, though.
Yeah, I feel like Turk would have rocked the glow stick necklace.
Oh, yeah, it's him and JD. They're out and about. They're outside. I love that term, by the way.
What?
We're outside.
Like, if you want to, instead of what you're trying to get into, you want to go outside?
That's a term?
That's the new... Remember when you was a kid and you used to say that to people? Yo, you going outside?
Uh-huh.
That's back, but for adults. Really? We outside, yo. Meet us outside. We coming out. We outside.
Okay.
When you outside, you got to be really outside, according to Beyonce. Because if you're not that, you're not that outside.
Okay. Got it. I'll start using that because I've been using like what you're trying to get into. I need to.
I still like what you're trying to get into. Don't get it twisted. That's our thing.
So when I text you to do something, you want me to say, "Do you want to go outside?"
I mean, if you could find a funny way to say it.
You trying to go outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always think about you, and I'm like, if it just feels like you're not trying to get into anything.
Yeah, I'm not trying to RSVP.
Yeah, you didn't RSVP to my birthday.
I'll be at your brunch, bro. I'm fucking skipping Vegas to go to your brunch, bro.
Why were you going to go to Vegas?
My kid got made hoops basketball. I'm skipping that shit to be at your brunch, bro.
Yeah, who's going to take him?
Ask
some other parent to take him.
Uh-uh, man. Come on now.
Really?
Parenting 101.
You can't have other parents that you trust escort
him? They can't
do
sleepovers either. Sorry, guys.
Because of his nut allergy?
That's one reason. And I don't know these motherfuckers. I don't know these motherfuckers. They might know the kids. I don't know these motherfuckers.
But does Rocco ever want to have a sleepover?
I mean, if you want to have, if your kids want to sleep over here, that's cool. But there's no way I'm letting my kids sleep over your house. I'm sorry. I've even designed my house so that if my kid wants to have friends over, it's fun for the kids when they get here and they can have fun.
All right, but I have a question.
She's not going nowhere to go. I'm sorry.
Never. There's no sleepovers.
There's a very select few, and you have to. And my wife has either vetted, like straight up, man.
Vetting's important. You got to vet.
No, but even vetting doesn't necessarily crack the surface. Anybody could be anybody in an interview. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I could be somebody else. I fucking am somebody else in every interview that I go on.
So your kids will never be allowed to sleep at a friend's house.
Not until they're much older.
So those poor kids are like, I just want to go to a movie and sleep over at my friend's house. No.
You can go to a movie. I'll take you to a movie if that's the case. I don't mind that shit. You're not sleeping over there. I'll be picking you up.
There you go.
All right.
When everybody starts to go down, guess who's coming to get you? What time y'all going to bed? You don't know? I'll be there at 8:30, 9:30 the latest.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
That, my friends, is what's up. So Joelle organized a debate between some fans.
Hell yeah.
Joelle, how did this work out? What happened?
So we asked you guys to send your voicemails to scrubsiheart@gmail.com, picking an episode and whether you loved it or you hated it. So we got a ton of emails, a handful of voicemails. If you want to send in for any future episodes, just make sure you put like which episode it is in the title. So we have one positive person and one who was not feeling season 9.
All right, let me ask you a question before we continue. Were these people saying the whole season or specific episodes?
I reached out to them and asked them to record specifically on season 1, episode 1, so that
if you're going to submit going forward, what we'd like you to do if you want to be on the air is pick a specific episode and put in the subject heading to Joelle, this is about season 9, episode 4. Here's why I love it. Here's why I hate it. Maybe put season 9, episode 4, love, or season 9, episode 4, hate, just to make it simple for Joelle, because she's a very busy woman.
Very smart.
And keep it
shout out to Carmen
Carmen, who helps us.
Yeah, Carmen. Shout out, Carmen.
And what's the max time, Joelle? Like 3 minutes max?
3 minutes max. I edited down these. And we want
audio. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is for Scrubs, season 9, episode 1. We'll start with Erin. She was not a fan.
Oh, Erin.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Zach, Donald, Joelle, and Daniel. My name is Erin Fedorko, and I'm calling on behalf of all season 9 haters. Specifically, I'm going to talk about why I hated season 9, episode 1 so much. It is the biggest tease of my entire life. To me, what made Scrubs so perfect was the fact that JD was casted perfectly by Zach Braff.
Thank you, darling.
And anyone who knows me knows I love Zach Braff. So season 9 was an absolute tease because it gave me exactly what I wanted from the start. I got an opening monologue about how he talks about Sacred Heart and his time there. And from that moment, he has one of the funniest episodes I have seen from him in a long time.
Wow.
Some examples are the entire scene where JD and Turk are trying to find each other in the hospital, and the Eagle scene where they are running around the campus and they run into Dr. Cox. But I think the funniest thing about this episode is when JD says to Dr. Cox, stay open for business in your heart cage. That is probably the hardest I've laughed this entire season of Scrubs. And it is a shame that it was given to me in season 9, episode 1. And finally, what made Scrubs work was the chemistry that was built between the core cast over 8 seasons. And Bill Lawrence gave us exactly that in season 9, episode 1. Scrubs is synonymous with JD, which is synonymous with Zach Braff. And the only thing that season 9 left me wanting more of was Zach Braff.
I love this
more
moment.
JD and Zach Braff. In the same way that Christopher Walken needed more cowbell. I believe for season 9 of Scrubs to have worked better, it had to have been named something completely different. And the only reason that I am able to forgive Bill Lawrence for season 9 of Scrubs is that he created Ted Lasso. Thank you, guys. Love you guys. This is absolutely amazing. Thank you for letting me talk my shit on season 9 of Scrubs. I've been waiting a lifetime to do this.
Wow. Well, she's you know so what? Sweet. Thanks, What's her name again? Aaron, thank you so much. Thank you for the very nice words about me. And well said. I think she mentioned a couple things we mentioned, although she happened to love the moment when we did an eagle. And
you know what I think? I think this is probably one of the best ideas in a long time. And this is why. If Star Wars did this, this would be great. People got to air out their fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Their grievances.
Air out their grievances.
Their grievances.
Oh, great.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And not be penalized for it and not judged for it or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. A young lady expressed everything she wanted to express. She's very fond of you, Zach, obviously. So I don't think the show would have worked.
I get it.
I don't think the show would have worked. if you would have been in all 6, I mean, all 13 or 12, I bet you she would have loved it. Mm. So I will say this is a great way. As long as you don't hurt nobody's feelings, I'm all for it. I'm sure there are people that sent some shit like, and this bitch, and let me tell you something about this asshole, and this and let me.
Does this make you want to go? Do you wish now that you could go on a Star Wars podcast and say the grievances you have about something you don't like in Star Wars?
Everybody knows my grievances. Fucking Star Wars knows my grievances. I don't think I'm going to ever do a Star Wars again. Because
you think you've hurt someone's feelings.
I might have hurt someone's feelings.
Dave Filoni. Do you think that Dave Filoni goes, fuck Donald Faison?
There's no way I've hurt Dave Filoni.
Just like you say, fuck your sound effects machine. Do you think Dave Filoni is like,
I definitely feel like whoever was involved with the sequel trilogy might be like, I don't like Donald Faison anymore.
I'm sure they love you.
No, I hate.
Although when we were at the premiere,
you did
give love to Kathleen Kennedy's twin instead of her. That may have hurt your chances.
And I was being fake too when I did it too, and I deserved that also.
Oh boy!
If you have an identical twin and you're hosting a giant premiere, I'm sure a lot of people are going to get confused. She should wear a T-shirt that says "I'm not Kathleen Kennedy."
Yeah, but also I shouldn't have went up to Kathleen Kennedy or who I thought was Kathleen Kennedy. And lied my ass off on how much I enjoyed the movie, too, because I really didn't.
Well, now you're definitely not going to get hired. All right, Joelle, let's hear the person who loves season 9, episode 1.
Dan, I'll take it away.
Got you. Here is Samantha.
Hey, y'all. My name is Samantha, and I'm from North Carolina. Episode 1 of season 9 is my favorite because it gives you a sense of normalcy. You have, right off the bat, JD walking in, doing his inner monologue thing. We have Elliot over here yelling at med students in our high-pitched, cute little voice. Cute little pregnant belly. Turk, he's being his silly old self. We've got Dr. Cox with his egotistical, diabolical, cutthroat self telling these med students, you're going to kill somebody. And you still, like, and then you got JD and Turk acting like they've not seen each other in, what I'm guessing, years. But they just carpooled to school together. But they're running to each other. And it's like a flashback, in a sense, from their Carla and Turk's honeymoon. I guess JD and Turk's honeymoon.
JD was on the honeymoon.
Apparently. We were together.
But I also like the med students. You have Lucy, Drew, and Cole. they all bring this weird little trio dynamic that you had with Elliot, Turk, and JD. And it was kind of like a warming you up to a new thing. I also like the fact that Joe was brought over. Joe was probably one of my absolute favorites in season 8. Like, she had this just dark self about her. And I feel like I have a dark side, like dark self, like dark humor. Mm. And I love that about her. Like, she just cracks these dark jokes to kind of deal with things. And I feel like I do the same thing. And so I basically connected with that. So her coming over was a nice adjustment as well. But honestly, my favorite part that still actually made everything still feel normal was when Dr. Cox took on Drew as his number one. And of course, you know how JD gets when Dr. Cox takes any interest in anybody else. He gets so jealous. And I absolutely love that shit, because it's either Dr. Cox just likes to fuck with him about it, or he just, well, Dr. Cox just knows who's going to be a good doctor. And so he takes on that person. And even JD knows that, but he still gets jealous because he never gets that affection from Dr. Cox. I feel like it was just a great transition into season 9. And to be honest, I liked season 9. I'm probably going to be one of the only ones that do. But I enjoyed the season. And I enjoyed this podcast. And I want to say thank you guys so much for this opportunity. Thank you, Joelle. And Donald and Zach, I love y'all so much. And hey, Daniel, nice to meet you.
I thought she was going to skip you, Daniel, but you got a shout out.
Wonderful day. Thank you again so much.
Very sweet. Samantha, right?
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha, very much for that. And go ahead, Donald.
I once again think that this is something that a bunch of companies and especially tentpole shows and movies should do. You should have the opportunity to, as long as you don't hurt anybody's feelings, the positive and the negative, what works and what doesn't work. You know what I mean?
It'd actually be an interesting way to review a movie. It's like what Siskel and Ebert used to do. You remember that great show where they would like hash it out sometimes?
Yeah.
Because now things are just Rotten Tomatoes. I was listening to Samantha and I'm thinking, like, I would love to hear like people do it, like, I mean, a pro and con of a film. Like, let me hear the person who loved it and then the person who didn't like it and their reasons, like, as opposed to just like someone's blanket statement. That was interesting.
Yeah, as long as you don't disrespect anyone.
Yeah, and be respectful. It's good to go. As both of those women were respectful. Yeah.
That's what's up.
Well, you know. I think in the macro, when I zoom out, I did not dislike it as much as I thought I was going to.
I will agree with you.
The leads are clearly charming. I mean, not us. The new leads are clearly charming leads, people. Yeah. And it was written by Bill Lawrence. It was directed by Michael Spiller, who's a wonderful director. And that's it. That is episode 1 of season 9, everybody. Donald, anything you want to say?
This is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting because, you know, you get it. I get it. The gripe is what a difference a name makes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. By naming it Scrubs, everybody has beef. I really do believe that if it wasn't called Scrubs and it was a spinoff of Scrubs and intended to be a spinoff of Scrubs, like if it looked like a spinoff of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It would be way more successful and people would have gravitated towards it.
If it was because Scrubs, I laughed, SVU.
Right. Yeah. I laughed because I laughed a couple of times out loud. And there are Scrubs episodes where I didn't laugh at all. And
did you laugh at Stay Open for Business in your heart cage?
Dude, I laughed at us. I'm not going to lie. I laughed at the guy love shit and me knocking dude over. I laughed at
your face is so funny.
The determination to hug you. I did not laugh at the prison line, but I laughed at everything else. You know what I mean?
You know, it's good. One thing I thought as we were listening to these women's opinions was like, this exercise might be informative if and when we do a Scrubs reunion, like to help us not fall in well, a Bill, but us as well, to not fall into pitfalls. You know, how can we make that something new and fresh and different while still giving the audience something they want, which is seeing everyone and all the characters and where they are these days?
The other question is, do you bring back the people from med school?
No, no.
But they're all huge stars now. All of them.
No.
All of them are big stars.
Well, we'll
Gary,
see.
Gary, Dave.
We'll see.
We're going to introduce a couple of other characters.
I love that Rob Mascio makes a little cameo at the
end. He made his little cameo in the end credits.
Yeah, the credits. That was
Rob fun. Will definitely be in the new incarnation.
I would love to see.
He's going to have to get in shape. I don't think he's got that body currently.
He looks pretty good in the pictures.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I think Rob would be the first to say, if you want me in a banana hammock, I need to go to the gym.
Fair.
No, because the banana hammock's going to be full.
No, I was if this let's
that's
say,
all that matters, right? It's not about the physique. It's about
we know that he's what's we in know the that hammock. He's we know that he's got a third leg.
And on that note, 5, 6, 7, 8
stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at Tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com. And point your toes west.